You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, welcome. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay, spiritual mentor and a sound therapist for you who are ready to reclaim your power. We're here in LA Talk Radio studio, I think a year and a half after this year that we had it. I've been to the studio, so this is the first time that I'm in here with you live in the LA Talk Radio studio. Really fun here, nice building, and later we'll have I'll have Sam join us. Sam is a friend and the owner of LA Talk Radio, and we'll talk about a few things. I want to start with a promise. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. Love your neighbor, your friend, your gardener, your partner in the same way that you express love to yourself. And first focus is on ourselves. First focus is on us. How do we see ourselves? How do we express ourselves to ourselves? And then we can express it to others. The interesting thing is that in Hebrew, it is not love your friend or love your neighbor. It is love to your friend or neighbor. It is easier to express love in hoping for the best for the friends, hoping for the best for your partner, your neighbor, in the same way that you hope for yourself. So if I want something for me that badly, how great would it be if I would want the same thing for the other person, for a friend, for a neighbor? This is really kind of, and this is really the time of this weekend and the time of this week where we enter. We had new moon, and we are in the beginning of the month of Av in the Hebrew calendar, and really it's about coming back to ourselves. Look at what happened this year and a half. This year and a half, we've been in a place where we were coerced. That's how I would like to see that. Coerced into isolation. Coerced into isolation, not just physically, but spiritually. Spiritually between one another and ultimately, or beginning with, ourselves. And that created even, this is what I like about this, the situations where one is intending one thing, especially a negative, and then that negative turns into a positive. And this positive is that after this year and a half, after this time of confusion, this time of creating isolation, creating fear, there is actually the desire and the the desire from creation to come back together, to connect together, to be together. More, I feel it's stronger than ever, at least the time that I remember ever. And it is really heartwarming. Yesterday I was Sunday, Friday, on my Friday talk, I was in Redondo Beach, and I did a Friday video from there. And it was wonderful, and it was wonderful just to see how people come together. I was in a park full of dogs, and like 15 dogs, 20 dogs, and it was just a joy to see how the animals are teaching us how to be. The animals are teaching us how to be. Dog in Hebrew, a dog in Hebrew is kelev. It's called kelev. Kelev, lev is heart. And it is kulo lev. Dog is all heart. Now, the animals in the Hebrew language are named after their qualities. So kelev is all heart. It's all heart. Dog takes our sorrow and our joy, absorbs everything from the heart, from us, from humans. A cat, for example, is called chatul, which is, if you want to learn manners and you want to learn mannerism and you want to learn about tidiness and cleanliness and kind of like, if it's a female cat, like a lady-like, you know, you go to the cat, right? Because the cat keeps clean after themselves. cat are going around and they're cleaning themselves and they're beautifying everything and shining their fur with their tongue and so forth. And so it's really was really exciting to see that, to see how the animals are actually these wonderful example for us, for me, to see that, just to come back into this mass conjunction of hearts of people. And this is really a joyous time. It's really revealing itself. And the month of Av is really a beginning. Oh, hello.
Hello.
I got Sam here.
He's late, but he has an excuse.
Yeah, he has an excuse. Of course he has an excuse.
Don't forget my mic.
Hello there.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, Ilan, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
It feels so nice to be back, huh?
It feels great to be back.
It does. I mean, enough is enough, you know. A year and a half of being stuck at home. Well, I haven't exactly stayed at home, but
no, you haven't.
But still, you haven't been able to go anywhere, and it was just, I don't know, I can't imagine. If we have to start dealing with it again with the new strain, I will go out of my mind. But I think the lockdown was a mistake, you know.
You think so?
I think maybe hopefully they learn. Yeah, the extent that they had it, I mean, to shut down the economy, I don't know. Did you see how many businesses are out of business?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
So that's.
But
what
you
I'm
know,
saying,
but you know already what I think about this whole thing.
Tell us.
Well,
I know, but you want to tell the listeners.
Well, I think that the whole this whole coronic era and everything was really a way, and everything around it, and I'll talk about it, is a way to stick things into our body, mm-hmm. to push all kind of metals and everything into our body. That includes the 5G, that includes the corona, that includes the, you know, in Israel, for example, right? They would decide that the corona is going to be an issue on Friday. For example, like they would have certain days, so like there will be a Tuesday, and they'll say, "Okay,
they devote to."
And Friday, we're going to have a complete lockdown, because that's going to be a very dangerous time with the corona. So the corona is like a weekend thing,
right?
A weekend virus.
Right.
So it is going from creating this scare. Really, this is what I was just talking in the beginning, creating this scare tactic. Scarcity to create isolation between people, because really what I see is that the above government, as George Carlin said, government is really an illusion to give us the feeling that we have freedom of choice in these matters. But but creating this scare tactic to isolate people, because nobody wants, as far in those levels, nobody wants critical thinking people.
Right. Exactly. You know,
nobody wants a critical thinking. On the other hand, you have people that are following any order that comes down from a government.
Right.
Verbatim.
Like
sheep.
Yeah.
Like sheep, you know. There is this Far Side caricature of sheep. So there is one black sheep, and there are 1,000 white sheep, and they're all telling, "Oh, you look, you're different." And he laughs at them and says, "Ah, look, you're all the same." You know.
Yeah.
So how is for you coming back to the station?
To me, it's exciting, man, because you know this is like my baby, and for a year and a half we were virtually closed. You know, I mean,
it was all remote.
Yeah, there was some shows, but I mean, it really affected us. Tremendously, to the point where, you know, we almost closed, you know, and somehow I managed to keep it alive. But the situation is that I know a lot of people that could not resurrect their businesses, and it's cost a lot of money to a lot of people. It costs lives. I believe that people, some people killed themselves because they couldn't afford to support themselves or their families, you know. I mean,
yeah, it's,
I've seen that. I mean, I've read about it. Let's say I don't know anybody that did, but at the same time, you can imagine the situation. You know, the despair, and quite frankly, you know, I mean, I think it was, you know, they're saying it was probably a leak from the lab and all that stuff.
A leak from the...
yeah. I happen to think this was unleashed deliberately by China, and I think they wanted to bring the world to its knees so they can rise, and they did.
I mean, haven't they already before that?
Yeah, but, you know, but they still have not passed, and I just read an article on it, that they're not going to surpass the U.S. anytime soon, but I'm sure they're trying, you know. And I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they make people disappear. They shut down everybody that's going to say anything, you know. I mean, they're even cracking down on their own businesses now because they're doing too well, you know. It's crazy.
Well, but
I don't trust them.
No, well, I don't trust anything that has the letter G in it when it comes to government.
Okay.
From the government standpoint, not from right. the. And but if you look at the health system, right? The health system in the West and the health system in China, here, the health system is here to keep you sick, to keep you all the time on pills, to keep you all the time sick, so you can generate more money for the pharmaceutical and all those that are controlling actually the governments. Mm. When in China, for example, the motto is to keep you healthy.
Right.
If you get sick or die, the doctor is dead, kaput.
Right.
You know. So I mean, there. I guess there are pluses and minuses in every situation, but I would like a healthcare system like that keeps you healthy. That's the whole point of it.
Right. But, you know, one thing I learned is the more you let the government into your life, the less freedom you have because they decide for you.
Well, that's true.
And
that's true.
The thing is, the health system, I agree, it's expensive. It could use some reform, but I would not put more government regulation there. You know, that's my
opinion. On the other hand, if you have privatized the health system, most likely more people won't be able to afford it, because
it's privatized. Right.
So you see what's happening.
Right.
So you see what's happening. And if you're getting a health coverage from the government,
right,
you're limited by so much.
Right. But maybe there should be an option, you know. If you want to use the government services, go ahead. If you want to use private, if you can afford private.
But this is how it is now. This is how it is now.
Well, okay. So, but you just said people can't afford it.
What I'm saying is that...
There is Medi-Cal, Medicare.
What I'm saying is that systems like this, like the Medicare and stuff like that, they don't cover certain things, and also the kind of care and the kind of doctors that you're getting or where you're getting the doctors is different
than
you're getting in Mount Sinai or something.
That's what I'm saying. So when you get the government, they have more control and you have less freedom. So when you want the government to take care of the health system, that's what happens, you know. And I think the mix between the two, I don't know. I think the American system works. It has worked for many years. And like I said, it could use some reform. Maybe check on the prices of medicine, which I don't think justify you know, the high prices and everything, so people can't afford it. You know, maybe I don't know, regulate or put some kind of a cap on what doctors can charge. But then again, you get the
government
involved.
That's, for example, is nice, but that's okay to have the government involved in rent. Look, there is rent cap on some areas here.
Right.
So that's good.
But it's good for the residents, not for the landowners. You know, so
where are you going to put the limit on line on that? I mean, where are you going to?
Well, you just say doctors can only charge so much, maybe based on, like, I know that, like psychologists and stuff like that, they have like a what they call it, sliding scale system, where you pay less if you can't afford as much. You know, so maybe something like that. I don't know. I never really gave it any thought. You kind of put me on the spot, but the thing is that I
like putting on spots.
Yeah, it's cool. But I happen to think that I want less government intervention in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And that's it, you know. I mean, yes, you always have less fortunate people and stuff in every society, the government should probably take care of them, you know. But
yeah.
But it should be a choice, you know, not... I mean, look, when the government regulates things, it's like unbelievable. Now they want to go door to door and vaccinate people. I mean, what is that, you know? That sounds like...
Yeah, that's...
That's a Marxist society, you
so,
know?
Well, before that society, go back into our body. Look, for example, right. And look how everything ties. Look at the currency. right? And so, and I talk about this quite a bit. We went from gold to thin air.
Right.
We went from gold, where initially you had gold, and then the banks came out and said, oh, we give you paper to represent how much gold you have.
Right.
And then they printed more paper than they had, right? More right. than the gold that they had.
Yeah.
And now it goes to crypto.
Right.
To ether, to the ether. So you went from gold to nothing. Right. Everything is tied into a button, mm-hmm. a press of a button, and you're gone. You have these, you have all kinds of things that are injected into you. You don't know if it is safe or not anyway, because people with vaccinations are also getting sick.
Right.
And there is all this scare tactic mm-hmm. that happens along this. You have the 5G, which is an infrastructure that enables the monitoring and control of these kind of systems over this network. The 2.4 system that is now, or the cell that is now, is not capable of doing that.
Right.
It's not capable of this mass monitoring, but 5G is. So everything is moving towards there. It is, this is an effort, and every time it's an effort to not just create isolation, but create isolation for control, because it's
right. divide and conquer.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, they're dividing the people. There's no doubt, you know. And in addition to that, I just read that in Israel they're trying to put cameras in the streets now. So
they have already people. Cameras in the street in Tel Aviv. Certain places in Tel Aviv, you have city cam.
Right. You and know? Many. I mean, they have it in some countries, but. Just again showing you we have no more privacy at all.
You have here. No, you have in Santa privacy. Monica. You have in those. You go into
right.
onto the web. You go into the web.
I know they're justifying it by for solving crimes, but it gives them control about every over everybody. You know.
Here, there is a patent. I read this in the book. It's called The Oneness, and it's by Vandana Shiva, and she was in our house. She gave a talk. She works with underprivileged and societies and children, and she's working mm-hmm. with how to bring our health and ourselves back through nature and through sustainable living.
Right.
And she has an addendum in the back of the book. And in 2018, Microsoft was granted. I'm going to take this off because I'm not reading
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, you don't need to see for
that. It's like. 2018, Microsoft was granted a patent, 060606. All right,
really?
Yeah, it's a patent. Now to get a patent, you know, to when you submit a patent to the patent office, takes years sometimes to get it. Microsoft mm-hmm. probably had paid somebody to get it faster, but nevertheless, it was approved in 2018, which means, and it actually gives Microsoft and eventually people companies like them and Gates the permission and the right to mine our energetic body to mine our energetic body. What did the colonists do? They mined, right? We are the mine. They're mining our energetic body, our the radiation that we emit up to the eye flip, up to the skin, everything. Now how are they going to do that? We're here.
Right.
So this is a systematic, and it's been for almost ever like this, a systematic way of control, of putting control over people.
Right.
For the purpose of, eventually it's going to be annihilation, because, you know, you see all the sci-fi movies, right? How many of them came true already?
No, I mean, that sounds like The Matrix, you know, what you're describing.
It's
where
funny.
They were raising humans to use electricity from them, you know, the electricity that humans generate.
Yeah.
They use them like batteries.
Exactly. Yeah. I want to say hello. She's Mikey, Adam, Ridwan, Abdullah saying hello. They know you, apparently.
Okay, yeah. Hi, Mikey. How you doing?
And Adam, thank you for joining. So this is Abracadabra. If you're joining, it's Abracadabra. Create what you speak, where I look at everything from a spiritual lens. Because I believe that everything physical has a spiritual reason and cause. So even this, not even this, especially this, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it spiritually, it is the war on our consciousness. Somebody said, oh, is World War III, are we going to World War III? And I said, World War III is already here.
Mm-hmm.
World War III is on our consciousness, is really mining us, mining us and extracting what you can extract. It's like squeezing, like taking
harvesting,
a lemon, squeezing.
They mine in the harvest, like you know, just like they would plants and shit, you know. The cotton and... You know,
I don't know about shit, but I know, but I know cotton.
They harvest shit.
I saw, we saw a movie yesterday. It's called, it was kind of an odd movie, but quite realistic. It's called Bliss. Mm-hmm. It's with Salma Hayek and...
oh, I saw that. What's his name?
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Owen Wilson.
Now, this was interesting because yesterday was the beginning of the month of Av, right? And the beginning of the month of Av is really, you know, it's start Tisha B'Av. You have the 9 days of mourning, and it's one of the months that are considered, according to Kabbalah, as the not positive month, right. Like negative, like energies are closed. Yeah. But with that, what it allows us is to reflect, to see where we are, where we're standing, what is going on in us, in our immediate surrounding, and our external surrounding.
Right.
And it is a movie that was, I don't know if you remember, it's a movie that is kind of like a Matrix, kind of like
it's kind of weird, but yeah.
It was talking about really the realities, this reality here and the reality that is adjacent to our realities. It's also about taking our filters down from our eyes, removing our filters down and seeing what is. It was like, it was almost like a Limitless, the movie where he was taking a pill and he could see what's underneath. So if I look in this door, there wouldn't be anything here, right? There'll be something else. Or if the person is real, or is the person holographic? So it was kind of like a reminder of where we are, of like how we go. Do you have any of those things where you're walking or you're doing something and something looks odd to, or like,
I don't know.
Why is this
happening? I don't know.
Or you're not...
No, I'm not in touch with that. No.
You're not in that.
I'm not like, you know, somebody thinks of something, they go, oh, that's from God or that's from spirits, and they become a psychic, you know? There's people that do that. I'm not like that. When things come into my mind, I figure, well, it's my mind, you know? It's the subconscious, you know? But
I see. Well, sometimes a banana is just a banana.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, you know.
Yeah.
And you know what I heard, what I read yesterday in the meme? It says, I forget what his name is. I'll remember in a second. Ricky Gervais, you know, that did
the Oscars.
He says, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
That's right.
Right?
That's absolutely right.
And I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, because if you're offended... What does that mean? I mean, that maybe you said something, you meant completely, you were thinking about what you need or watermelon or something, and that triggered something in me from my past.
Right. If you're offended, that's your problem, not mine, you know? When I talk, for example, you know?
With that said, I mean, I'm not talking about if you're offending somebody purposefully, like you're cursing or something.
But right.
You may say something that, let's say you don't agree to something, and if I get offended, it's really triggered something in me. It triggered something in my past.
Right.
So... With that,
and you can't control what I say, you know. So, and it doesn't mean you're right. That's what I'm saying, you know. It's just because there's a truth, you know. There's a certain truth, and it doesn't matter how you say it. It can be offensive to people, you know. So, you know, and conversely, when you're talking, you shouldn't be afraid to offend people because it's not your problem. You
but
know,
you're not
you
offending people. If you're saying something that is coming really from you without the intention, oh, I'm going to say this to see what he's going to say.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Then
right. But people get offended by everything today, you know, and there's...
Well,
that's the threat to freedom of speech.
Well, that's right. I mean, are you surprised? Look what happened this year. And
yeah, with the woke
everything
culture
is,
and everything. Everything is on its head now, right?
Everything is on the end and on the edge. You know, it's on the edge before tipping over.
Well, everything is turned on its head, I feel, you know. And the thing is, everything that we knew, we thought we knew, is not real, you know.
So you know, it's like they say, who is the wise person that knows that what you think, when you think you know something, you know nothing.
Right, exactly.
Right?
You know, yeah. I agree with you. I think there's a lot of things that happened in the past year that have been really stressful for a lot of people, you know, and on both sides of the spectrum, really. And I don't know, you know, I mean, we're so divided in this country with everything, not just politics, you know, culture and race and whatever you want. We're divided. And, you know, politics, of course, you know, the Democrats can't work with the Republicans. They do things just to spite the other side, or because they did this, we're going to do this to cancel it. And what happens is, you know, I remember when I came to this country in 1976, which was the year of the bicentennial, by the way, it was the 200th mm-hmm. birthday of the United States, which was a big deal. The country was celebrating, and everybody was together, you know. I mean, there was a lot of patriotism. People loved the flag, were proud of the flag. You had both sides of Congress working together. You don't have that
anymore. Yeah, well, there were these different times. You also had one time begging, so...
Yeah, well,
you had different times. I remember that when I was a kid, and my brother was teaching the Maccabi team for the karate in,
right.
from the U.S. and it was different. There were different times.
Yeah,
but
yeah. I know we're not as innocent anymore, and I think that's the key. You know, I mean,
there's loss of innocence.
Yeah.
There is the loss of innocence, right?
Exactly.
It's the loss of innocence in interpersonal connections, and but what I see here after the after this corona. Well, we're still in this corona era, right. But what I see is actually a desire to come closer.
Mm.
You know, before this whole thing started, everybody is on their phone, on their iPad. Everybody would be glued to their screen and everything, and. It's like created the opposite effect.
Right.
That's what I feel that this whole thing, what they try to do, is actually it creates the opposite effect right. in a certain to a certain degree.
Right.
That people want to come together. That we realize what important connection is.
Right.
It is all about connection.
No,
right?
Of course. And I think this the way they divided people and isolated them shows that you know we do want to get out. And be with people, you know, because we're social animals, you know, and
yeah. I mean, if you stay in Europe and I stay here, we're the only two people in the world, and we have all the riches of the world. Eventually, we'll feel lonely,
right? Exactly.
Because it's not, you know. So definitely, so when you opened the studio back again, mm-hmm. you had a flock of people coming back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like this. It's this place. I tell you, when I'm broadcasting from home, it's completely different.
It is. You know, I mean, here, the bottom line here is you get to sit with people, you know, you get to interact, and there's nothing like it. You know, I mean, to do shows from home is, you know, I mean, there's so many Zoom shows. I'm like, I've already OD'd on all these, you know, because people that have no idea what the hell they're talking about or... Let's say they do, but they have no idea how to set up their production or anything. They just sit there. They put the camera and they start talking. They think they have a radio show or a podcast. But that's not the case, you know? It's like there's something to be said for doing it professionally and in a way that people like to digest it and not to just go, oh, another Zoom show, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
I hear it depends what it is. To me, it worked. For me, it worked... It worked quite well,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
It worked okay. You know, if I do sometimes a sound work or working with the bowls,
mm-hmm.
and you know, having the space and it works. You know,
yeah.
So it's different. Everybody has a different technical aptitude.
Yeah, of course,
so
of course, it depends what you're trying to accomplish. You know, but the people that come here are people that want to have a professional environment. You know, and be with people at the same in the same room. They're guests. You get to mingle with other hosts and guests that come in here and stuff. So it's really a place that there's some human interaction,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and people love it. Otherwise, we wouldn't survive, you know. So there's that need and the reward that comes from it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really great. I'm really really enjoying this.
What about the sound? Do you want to pull out your...
Yes, I was going to do that.
You're
going to
do your bowls, so...
Well, I'm going to do sound bowls.
Yeah, exactly. So not the balls, I,
not
balls.
Balls, not balls, not balls. Although I put a post, there is. I got a box of candy from Kentucky, right? And they have all these crazy things there. I don't know. I haven't seen them here, but there's like a box of chocolates, one box with two pieces of chocolates, two round pieces of chocolates, and it's called Lucky Balls. It's called Lucky Balls.
There you go.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Throughout this time, what I've experienced and what I've seen is that many people have experienced a lot of depression, going into a lot of depression.
Right.
A lot of seeking for different remedies rather than the conventional Western medicine.
Right.
Different medicines, really, right, to elevate the soul, to elevate the spirit, to be in a place of finding themselves again and reconnecting to their authenticity, to their voice. Many have lost their so-called North Star. A lot of separation between people, and what I found is that I was working and talking to a lot of people that were in that place, and the best remedy from my end, at least, is sound.
Right.
Is working with sound and Tibetan bowls and bioacoustics and even interviewing people that are related to that field so they can contribute to others. Right. And sound, I found, well, I always found sound to be the ultimate medicine for the body and soul. But sound, I found, really helped a lot of people to ground, to be grounded, to find their own connection back to themselves, to their voice, to see, to discern what is true and what is an illusion. Mm. Some countries say illusion. Anyway, and that's what I found. And based on what I talked in the beginning about the beginning of the month and the film we saw and really the time that we're in, and it is really the thread line, you know, between the reality and illusion.
Right.
What is illusion and what is reality? How do you experience illusion and reality? And so when I work with sound, sound is connecting us back to our sound box, if you will. Sound heals, sound clears toxins. We are made of sound. Every part of our body is a frequency. Mm. And there are frequencies for different things, and each frequency has its own property and its own healing property.
Right.
So I brought today, so I work with sound bowls and I do sound therapy and helping you find that voice and be able to manifest. So this is the sound bowl for the third eye. The third eye is that pineal gland that we have above the first vertebrae. And the pineal gland is our connection, is our transmitter, if you will, to see and to get things and to understand things and to connect to higher realms and to higher understandings.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now during these times of confusion of what reality and illusion is,
right,
is to decalcify this pineal gland. Over years, when you're not dealing with it and you're not in that space of trying to connect, trying to go inside,
right,
then that pineal gland calcifies. And sound is one of the best tools to decalcify that, to clear that path, to clear that I call it like a traffic jam, spiritual traffic jam.
Right. Yeah. Put your bottle over here. I don't want you to spill it on my...
Why not, man? Why not?
I'm just thinking how the whole thing's going to be wet and I can't run any shows. Everybody will have to go home today.
Well, good. You could come home. We could go to the beach now.
Yeah. 9 o'clock and really great show.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
That's great to have to have that back.
Yeah, I need to be busy, you know? I became too lazy with this lockdown.
That's another thing, huh?
Yeah.
you're building some models, and you get some a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
In.
But you got to put in work. There's nothing like it.
No, for sure. So the sound. So this particular bowl is for the third eye. Now you have a taste, really, right, of what it sounds like. Yeah, but if you go to my page on Facebook, my name, Ilan Azulay, or Body Soul Sound, I have there some sessions and some examples of what sound is doing and how sound can be worked with. There is another system that I'm working with. Well, it's really a combination. It's called bioacoustics and engineering.
Right.
And really what it is, it's analyzing your voice, because our voice is a holographic representation of everything that is happening. Everything that is happening in your body, from the imprint of your voice, you can tell if you are actually connected to what you're saying, meaning if you're telling the truth. what traumas affected what frequencies? So when you have a trauma, it affects every part of your body. Some you see,
mm-hmm,
and some you don't.
Right.
And because we can hear as humans only between 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz, there are frequencies that we cannot hear that are affected. Mm. And that system identifies what is affected, how to heal that, what frequencies to apply to you, what kind of frequencies to apply to you, what enzymes and minerals we also need to nourish our physical body.
Right.
And that gives a comprehensive healing. I actually say, I do the research. If you get healed, it's your problem. that's really. I have an interview with Cherry Edwards. We did on LA Talk Radio, and she is the one that I learned from. She was gifted with a mutation that she can heal people with frequencies. Mm. And so, when her daughter almost lost her leg, she lost 90% of her leg, cut out. It was hanging by the artery. She actually produced frequencies and healed her daughter, and her daughter today is totally fine.
Wow.
Totally fine, with legs both attached, and everything is going wonderful. Another thing that this helps, and I've experienced, and not just this bowl, but any work with sound,
right,
is connecting to that inner child. It's connecting to that place of wonder, place of play, place of, you know, you're saying not to be afraid to say what you say. You know, children are the toughest audience. As I'm a musician, I used to perform before children. They're the toughest audience because if they don't like something, they scratch their butt, they get up, they drink, they laugh.
Yeah, they'll even tell you, you know.
They'll just do things.
Yeah.
They'll just do things without telling you, oh, I don't like it. They'll just be off to their thing, you know.
Right.
So it's really connecting to being able to say what you want to say and what you feel to say without the limitation or being inhibited on saying something that, oh, what will the other person say?
Right.
What will the other person say? And others will just be afraid to say. For many years, I was afraid to say many things just because, oh, what would I say? What would they say?
They think about me, right?
Right, would they think about me? How do I look like? Would I look like this? Would I look like that? Am I this? Am I that? And thank God, man, I'm, you know, I consider myself a three-year-old with 50 years experience.
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
that's
like...
Good, yeah. No, I mean, the thing is that I feel what you think about me is not my business.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So if you think, whatever you want to think, you know, it's your issue, not mine, you know. It doesn't really interest me. I can't change it. I can't influence it. I can't do anything, you know. So there you go.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. So you're able to heal people and stuff.
Well, I just do that and people feel better. People get healed. I mean, people go through transformations. Especially in women that are coming out of divorce during this time, and stalking, you know, some people cannot handle the idea that one person is not with them. So, their response, the way that they handle things, is by stalking or by creating pain or something like that to the other person because they don't know how to handle this. Now, do they have to be accountable? Yeah, but you know that's their issue.
Yeah, yeah. No, so they definitely have to be accountable.
So anyway, how did your experience go in this time? Did you meet people that were going through a lot of difficulties or?
Yeah, I suppose. I think I was probably. Well, yeah, I've seen people go through things, but I took it pretty hard in that I felt life was disrupted to a great extent. And I'm a person, I'm a Taurus. I don't know if that means anything, but I like things to be grounded, you know, predictable. I like security, safety, whatever. And all that stuff was taken away from us, you know. Suddenly we live in uncertainty. We live where our lives were being invaded by a virus and by the government.
Was it ever certain? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, I feel more. No, it's not certain, but you pretty much know that you can assume that for the most part, things will probably be the same tomorrow as they are today. You know, I mean, things do happen, but not like that. You know, I mean, that was like obviously life changing. It was a game changer for a lot of people. And I think it got us to the point where today we don't put anything beyond possibility. You know, it's like you think, yeah, the government could probably spy on us. Yeah, we could have World War III. Yeah, there's biological warfare. Yeah, there's this. There's all this negativity, you know, that I felt seeped into our lives. And yeah, that's me. Some people actually liked it, you know. They figured, oh, it helped me sort out my life a little better, slowed me down, all that stuff. To me, it's like, I guess it all depends on what your life was like before, you know.
It depends also on the person.
Right.
Like, I loved it. I mean, I loved it in the sense of,
exactly.
I wouldn't choose it per se, but once it's there.
Oh, you loved the lockdown and everything?
Yeah, actually, it was very good. Actually created a lot of positive things in my life and life of lives of people around me. And my son, for example, during this year, he's a rising hip-hop star.
Uh-huh.
He has over 250,000 streams. Mm-hmm. Itai.itai. Official and names, but Itai is his name. And I personally don't connect to that music, but it is more of a storytelling.
Right.
But he just flourished. Thank God, he flourished. He's flourishing, and he's performing, and he's, you know, recording with Kanye West and all these big studios names that.
But
some of them have done it
in normal times too. You know.
No, well, maybe so, but this is how it happened. It happened because there was no any other option to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, for him, there was no any other to be outside, and he had a place to be and to grow and to just focus on creating, focus on doing.
Right.
So when the time comes out to come out, he's already out.
Yeah.
You know? And so now I look at his Spotify and his web creations and everything, and he has tens of thousands of followers. I mean, it's great.
Right.
It's wonderful. And for me it was great also. It was great for growing, for connections, for just a lot of good things.
Good.
The only thing is, and this is where I had a contemplation, of whether to get that shot or not to get that shot, all this kind of thing, is about seeing my mother in Israel, right? I haven't seen my mother in 2 years or something.
Hmm.
And we're going to go last year, like three times, and had to postpone the tickets. And lost money on those things, and hopefully this October. You know, I'm not putting anything for the trip until merely close to that time because everything changes now. They're going to close again Israel.
Right.
Sounds like it.
Yeah,
they're going to close the airport.
That's what I'm saying, man. I can't deal with this shit. You know, I want normal. That's what I want.
Well, they're trying to create a new normal.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to create, a new normal of fear, and we will not let them. We will not let. It is to deploy your calabasa, your logic, your brain, your God-given gift to look at things and to assess for yourself and not to operate. If you decide that for you it is good to get a shot, that's fine. But you decide. If it's decide for you not to get a shot, that's fine. But you decide. It's not. If it's a pressure, if it is a forceful tactic or whatever, that is unconstitutional from the creation standpoint.
Right.
Not even.
But a lot of things are unconstitutional are happening these days.
That's why I said unconstitutional, you know? Not from the. Yeah. From,
right. I mean, don't forget all the riots we had and all the fires and the looting and the violence and all that stuff. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we never thought we would have that in the United States, you know? And suddenly anything is game, you know? And,
I don't know. I think, you know, America, at least as we know it, is...
Yeah, it's not the same. Not the same.
Yeah, it's not... well, you know, but we are here. We're here to continue and to carry the flag.
Exactly.
And to carry the flag and to encourage each one of us, of you, of anybody who is here, and if you are here, that's wonderful because you needed to be here, is to connect. Because the most important thing is here. And the fear is the mind. That's what they're trying to do, to put us in this lockdown.
Right.
Of the mouse that is running on the guinea pig that is running on this wheel, it thinks it's going somewhere, but it's actually not going anywhere.
Right.
You know, and this is with our children and with the younglings, and you know, it's just to be in this place of deliberate consciousness, to choose to be in. I want to understand. I want to know if something doesn't look right, doesn't feel right. Ask it several times.
Right.
Ask several times, why are you doing what you're doing?
Right.
Achi.
All right. Achi,
thank you.
Time.
Thank you for embracing this new coming to the... I think you were on the first... Yeah. Came to say hello on the first time when I started here. Yeah. Was on June 17th, like 3-4 years ago.
Oh, I was on the show, you mean?
Yeah, I think
on
so,
on the
yeah.
show, probably, yeah.
Well...
That long ago, huh?
Yeah.
We've known each other that long? Three, four years?
I'm sorry, man.
Wow. No, we're great friends. We're just kidding.
I don't know him.
So I'll let you wrap up so I can go and turn everything off.
Yes,
huh?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, Sam. Yeah, it's good to have you.
Good luck to everybody.
Amen.
Let's wish for a quick recovery from this...
Amen.
From this hell.
Mind hack. Mind hack.
Yeah.
This is a mind hack. Thank you, Sam, for joining. Thank you for being here. If you are here, you had to be here. You had to be here. If you look at it this way, if you look at it for everything physical, everything that happens in this realm, in this world, everything has a spiritual reason and cause. And when I say spiritual, I mean the awareness, the consciousness, but the awareness first, because the awareness is the feeling. There is a reason why we're here. There is a reason why we're doing what we're doing. Everybody here is on a journey. Everybody here has their own spiritual journey. And I'm here, and we are here, and we are here together. And check me, check my page on Facebook, on Body Soul Sound, and bodysoulsound.com. I'll be happy to talk more about sound and anything that makes you feel better. Thank you for being here. This is Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I'm Ilan Azulay. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Leitraot. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk.